You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The Gedolei HaPosdim who dealt with Bris Mila over the years and all these different types of halachic shelos or ramifications, the Binyan Zion in particular of Ettlinger, who was one of the great Gedolim in Germany, Shoshua's Binyan Zion or Achlaner, says that Bris Mila is one of the classical examples of the Torah Shebiksav saying very little, except that there's a mitzvah bris mila. That's all it talks about, is the concept of a bris. And that's all it's mentioned. It tells us the bris mila is Deicha Shabbos in Parashas Tazria. Parashas Lech Lecha just mentions that Hashem wants him to do the bris, but the actual perush of how to do the bris and what that has to be cut and what has to be done is all in the realm of Torah Shavapeh. This is the classic example. The Ikamis is mentioned in Torah Shebiksav, Avol Perusho, the Perish Makup Mahar Sinai, is basically through exclusively Torah Shebiksav. There's no way of knowing how to do the bris unless we had Torah Shebiksav to define the parameters. I'm just pointing that out to you.
The same thing is for Tefillin. No,
Tefillin is also an example. Yeah, absolutely, there's no question about it. But there's some mitzvahs that are spelled out more than others. Right. Over here, this is one of the classical examples. Now, what I want to mention to you, if you look on the first page of the Mar Mekamos that we have in front of you, the Rambam is one of the Rishonim who spent a lot of time in defining the Gemaras and Masechet Shabbos that talk about the Torah Shel Peper, its description of how we perform a mitzvah of Bris Mila. I wanted to show you the Lashon of the Rambam because in many respects the Rambam's Lashon is then used by the Shulchan Aruch and by the other Gedol HaPoskim afterwards when it comes to the actual tzura of how you do the bris mila itself. I'm going to start, Rabbi Yisrael, on where it says, Kol Kesherim, count down to the underlying lines, where it says, U'bechol Molim, when it comes to the kli, the actual vessel that's used for bris mila, you can use anything that's sharp, a few tzura, even a sharp rock, as Sipari did according to the Chumash. Ubis Chuche is a very sharp piece of glass that's been sharpened to the point it could be used as a knife. Bechol Dava HaKoreis, whatever cuts, a clean cut, Halacha L'Masa, can be used for Bris Mila. However, Lo Yimal B'Krim HaShulchan, a person should not use a reed for Bris Mila. V'nei HaSakana, for the fear that the reeds splinter and go off a bit. If the reed starts to splinter, some of the reed might go into the other part of the male organ and cause a major physical damage of that organ. However, mitzvah men amuvchar, when it comes to the best way to do the mitzvah, lamul bebarzel, to use iron, to use metallic vessels for many reasons, besides the fact that quite obviously they don't splinter, they don't break, and they're very durable. We know now, based upon modern science, that you're able to therefore cleanse them properly through proper sterilization, which you can't do with perhaps non-metal types of instruments. That's why in the surgical parts of our hospitals, I think all the equipment is metallic. Am I correct, doctor? Everything metal, because you can basically sterilize it, cleanse it properly. Which means, according to Chazal, you can use a knife, you can use scissors, usually on brisim of adults, or people who are older, they usually use surgical scissors rather than a sakin. It's a little easier to use and more safe for an adult whose skin is much harder than a little baby. For Nogel, but normally when brisim are done, which is on the eighth day, this mitzvah is to do it with the sakim. But Lashon Chazal, the sakim is called an ismal. That was the Talmudic term for it. Mm-hmm. And there is a minhag in Klal Yisrael to use a double-edged knife, that both sides of the knife should be sharp to be able to do the bris with it. If you look at the Makaris I have in front of you, which are notes that I've taken on this topic probably 30 years ago, I quote a pasuk that they use over here, to as a remez of the concept of using a double-edged sword. If you notice where it says, about 3-4 lines down from the Rambam, he says, the asmachta is, romos kel begronam, the cherev befias biyadam, a multiple, a mouth type of knife is used. On a pragmatic level, in books that have been written by Molim, some of them say the reason they want to use a double-edged knife is based upon pragmatic reality. Did you ever see how a bris is done in a Haimish environment? I'll mention that instead of letting there be breathing room, so the Moel could see what he's doing, and the father and the son, they don't have to suffocate. Everybody's pawing around. So this poor Moel, with every light he has, he might, if he doesn't have a double-edged knife, and only one side is sharp and one side is dull, might accidentally start cutting with the dull side. This way, there's no mistake. No matter which side you cut from, you have a sharp razor cut, so therefore, there's no harm coming to the baby. But it's interesting, Chazal bring a pasuk to demonstrate this. The fact of the matter is, let's go back into the Rambam over here. The Kate says Mola. Now we come to the description how you do Mila. Now in the Mishnah and the Gemara, Masech, the Shabbos, it just says that you do Mila and you basically do a Priya and you do Mitzitza, but the Gemara doesn't go into any Arichus of how you do these things. It's surely more than what the Torah says in the Torah Shebiksav, but even the Gemara doesn't explain it with tremendous explicit statement. You have to come to the Rishonim and the Ram in particular to hear exactly how the mitzvah is done. Ketzed Molim, Chotchen es kol ha'ar ha'machape es ha'atara, Ashet es ga'ala kol ha'atara. We know for a fact that on the actual male organ, on the penis itself, there is, in fact, two types of skin on the front end of the actual organ itself. One is the thicker outer skin, which we call the ar ha'arla, and then there's a skin underneath that, which is more of a mucous membrane in consistency, which we call the ar hapriya. The halach is we have to cut off both of them in order for the bris milah to be halachli kasher. The Gemara says explicitly in Masech to Shabbos, mal v'lapar ki'ilu l'mal, that you have to cut off both skins. So he says you first, therefore, cut away the outer skin, the thicker skin, more substantive skin, use a knife to do it, etc., etc. And what you're going to do is basically uncover what's called the glands of the penis, the front of the actual male organ. The achakach, the minigan klaius, was when it comes to getting rid of the second skin, the mucous membrane. So the Rambam quotes the minig that is based already upon a medrash, that instead of using a knife or a scissors to cut away the actual priya skin, which is thinner and it's easier to remove, the minig was parin es akrum derek shulamata min ha'ar bitsi parin. The minig was to use your thumb fingernails. Those who are meticulous in this grow their thumbnails very long. There's another, the place where that's found already before bris milah is when it comes to doing malika by a tzipar. So yeah, it had very thick. So the Kohenim used to have very long types of thumbnails. So therefore, the concept of using a thumbnail for basically cutting or peeling away is not such an unusual phenomenon. I'm going to quote you very shortly a very interesting pasuk from the Medrash Sheikhatov, from which this is basically derived. So the Rambam quotes the minig to therefore peel gently the second skin, the ohar pri, away with the pitziparin, with using your nails. Umachziro lakan lakan ashira basatara, until the entire gland's penis is totally uncovered. And achakach, and after you've done the mila, removing the arla skin, and then removing the underneath, what we call the priya skin, and if you notice the Rambam's minig was, which represents a good part of Klal Yisrael, to do it in sequential order. I'll mention that very shortly. Achakach, afterwards, says the Rambam, Motzeis etz amila, you suck out the mukam of where the bris was, ad sheyetze hadam, until the blood is drawn out, mimekamas harechokim, from the most deepest parts of the organ you possibly can reach with oral suction. We'll see very shortly that the minhag klaus for thousands of years, something goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu, was to use oral suction for the purposes of extracting this blood. Kedei shelo yavo de sakana, you shouldn't come to sakana. V'chol mi she'ena motzeitz, if a mohel is unwilling to do the mitzitz, even though he does a tremendous cutting away of the arla skin and the tremendous getting rid of the priya skin. If he doesn't want to be motzei, he's not meticulous about it, he loses his license to practice mila marvinoso. You put a kenas upon him, you can no longer do circumcision, because we're going to see in the Gemara shortly, you don't do metzitsa, you're endangering the life and health of the child. V'achas shemotzeitz, and after the metzitsa is done, nosana is palanis, aritia, you put special types of bandages on the wound to cover up the wound, to protect it and to keep everything in place. U'kiyotze behen, some used to put cumin up his man ha-Gemara, other types of chemicals. There were times that there were hemostatic powders that were poured upon the makam hamila to cause already the stoppage of the bleeding from taking place. But the Rambam is describing very simply what the terms mean and how the minhag was done. He's spelling it out very, very arichasdik, because in the Gemara never talks of the actual pulaus. It just mentions mila, priya, metzitza, but it doesn't tell you exactly how to do it. The Rishon really did the job over here to accomplish this.
The priya is not really cut, you're just pulling back.
You're basically, what you're doing here is you're basically pulling, you're peeling back with the thumbnails. It's like a mucous membrane, it's not really something. But what's interesting and fascinating is why the minig is, because if you look at the sheets that I gave out, look at page number 9. So what I have over here is just some equipment that we use today. On the upper side of the page, we have, you know, like everything else in Judaism, you can make something into a business. So the fact of the matter is, when it came to mila knives, once you said you're going to use a knife, we make decorative knives. So quite obviously you have two different types of decorative knives on the right-hand side of the page. One is purely metal, the other one has a handle, whatever it is, besides the actual blade itself. But quite obviously, we see over here, in fact, the top one has an ivory handle, and the blade quite obviously is metal. You then have over here in the middle a probe to basically try to loosen the skins before you start cutting them off. You should keep the skins as quickly as you can away from the actual organ itself. You shouldn't cut the organ accidentally and just cut away the skins. That is why our minig is something which is not mentioned in the Gemara, and that is what you have on the left-hand side of the page. These are mugging shields that were developed later on in Jewish history. Initially, the Gemara doesn't talk about this. What they used to do is loose hand, which means they used to take the skin with their fingers, and the mole, hopefully he knew what he was doing. He used to cut the skin off. Hopefully he shouldn't cut his finger off or cut the skin of his finger off. But the fact of the matter is, after a while, they didn't want to take chances. So what they simply do is they basically pull up the skin, and they pull it like it's like a into a vise. It's a fixed aperture, so they put the skin that they're pulling up in the actual opening. It's a fixed aperture, and therefore this keeps the skin above the surface. When you cut with a knife, your knife will never come close to your organ. It will cut off.
How come accidents happen?
How come accidents happen? Well,
we
can call a good person a klutz. But the fact of the matter
is, this does not do the cutting.
What?
This does not.
No,
do the
this
cutting.
Holds the skin in place. It's like a vise. It basically, what you do, if you can imagine, you pick up the skin, you use the probe to loosen the skin. Now the different minhagim. I mean, let's listen very carefully. The minig of the Rambam was to cut off the mila skin first and the priya skin afterwards. The Rav Haigo brings down that in Baghdad, in those that part of the world, Jewish world, the minig amongst the Molalim was to basically use the probe to loosen both skins simultaneously, to loosen them from the organ, to pull up both simultaneously, and to cut them simultaneously. That's what the Baha claims was done in Baghdad, in that part of the Jewish world. Was that done by you?
Yes. How long ago was that?
It is true.
Rav Haigon, you're talking about going back to the 900s.
I thought it was
I'm going back to the 900s.
Today, again, because sometimes the inner skin is attached to the gland.
Right.
You have to separate it, even today.
Yeah. That's what the probe is for, basically, to try to
you have to separate it from
correct.
The gland.
Correct.
When you separate it from the gland, pick it up, cut it. But when you cut it without margin, there is possibility that you can damage the gland.
Exactly, exactly. So the purpose of the magain is to protect the glands from being cut inappropriately. If you notice that there are Prius scissors on the bottom of this page that are sometimes used, some people don't use their fingernails, they sometimes use Prius scissors. The older the child, could obviously, the more need to use a scissor rather than to use your fingernails, the harder the skin. But at the end of the day, this is equipment that could obviously, over the generations, develop and was marketed, and people made a lot of money because it became, you know, like anything else, it becomes a Jewish item for spiritual purpose, and therefore people make a business out of it. Yes?
Just the perspective. I've had a couple of grandchildren who had risen in the usual life.
Yeah.
They were done by a lawyer whose name is Moshe.
Okay.
Who was the son of Yasser.
Yeah.
Didn't go to a... didn't say Tachlin for like 40 years. And when we first met the Mashla, he said, go to the pharmacia and ask for the kit. You go there, and it's a kit that has the powders and the wrappings and all these things.
Yeah.
You pay, shekel, and you come back. And he comes. And he had one fingernail and one thumb, very long. He came in, and in about 20 seconds, the whole thing was done.
We had Molim in the Bronx that we had that. But the fact, at the end of the day, a skilled Molim knows how to do it, and do it very well, and do it very quickly. But the fact of the matter is, if I show you, I didn't bring pictures tonight. There's equipment that's made for people that are not too great when it comes to doing bris milos, that sometimes urologists use, or people who are involved in obstetrics and such, who want to do the people a favor. I'll do the bris also. When you look at these machines that they use to cut off the bris mila, it looks like staple guns. I mean, but I didn't want to bring the picture tonight to scare you.
I've done hundreds. One bris mila.
Yeah.
But circumcisions, hundreds. With all those various
Gonco clamps, all the stuff.
Bells,
yeah.
Things.
I mean,
all of them basically, as everybody is saying, meant to screen the glands from being hurt.
Right.
Another point that was made is that when you look to screen the glands and it's in a clamp form, the end of the glands.
You have to be very careful.
Yeah.
Also, another factor is, and I saw this later on in the Maritz Chiyas' Tshuva on the Bahad discussing Baghdad, he says that the reason that they wanted to use their Tzipor Nayim is based upon a Pasuk I have over here. The Pasuk says, when it comes to my using my body parts for all types of mitzvahs, it's a Medrash Shechtav I have on the first page. So it says, based upon the Pasuk of Kolatz Moses Samarna, Do Amar David Ani Meshabcha Bechol Evarai Umekayim Behem Hamitzvus Betzipornayim Lasois Behem Priya Umalikas Auf Ubehem Lestakel Baor Bahavdala. So the Medrash mentions using your fingernails could obviously for different mitzvahs. So you have a remez already that the fingernails should be used for Priya as well. But once again, Rabbi Isai, not everybody uses their fingernails, but you have other options. The crucial factor is some claim they prefer fingernails over knives and over using scissors, because with your fingers you're able to feel carefully. Since you're dealing with a very thin mucous membrane, you're more careful in taking off and not hurting the organ than if you use a metallic device with such a thin type of membrane. So they say it's safer most probably to use the fingernails with the nails than to use items. But whatever it is, Kachu Aminiga amongst many members of Klal Yisrael to do it this way. And this is basically what we call the Tzura of how the bris was done for thousands and thousands of years. And, as I said, I'm giving this to you as a present. You have plenty of stuff to read over here. A lot of tshuvas, but at the end of the day, doing it ze'acha ze'o babas achas, both of them are brought down in the first two pages of the Maamar Makomos I have in front of you. When it comes to this, page 3, you have the tshuva.
What about the bas achas?
What?
There's no priya necessary.
No, when you do bas achas, what you're doing is you're doing the cutting of the arla and the priya b'bas achas.
The priya means...
You know, but I'm saying no. There's a machlokes what priya means. In the tshuva I have on page number 3, which is a tshuva from the Maariv Chiyus, he brings down the machlokes. Is what does priya mean? Does priya mean to be koreya? If it's koreya, the zechazev, the Rambam's correct. But he points out there are others who say the word priya means to uncover, to basically make something become uncovered. So if that's the case, if you do both babas achas, you're uncovering the gland's penis. So the machlokes, whether you do zach as a babas achas, depends what does the word priya mean. This is a tshuva that you have on page 3 of the Maariv Mekomos. You can read it gezunta hayt and enjoy it. The part I want to get to tonight, Rabbi Yisrael, is on page number 4. On page number 4, we come now to the actual Talmidic text in the Masechta Shabbos, which the Maariv describes halach lamasa, how you do bris mila on Shabbos and what you have to do on Shabbos. It's the only part of Shas where you really have the mitzvah bris mila really talked about. And it says over here, if you look on the top mokar, osin kol tzarchei mila b'Shabbos, and what is the tzarchei mila? You do the mohalim, which we now know means removing the erla skin, the parin, which means you're basically going to remove the second skin, the priya skin, umotitzin, and then you do the mitzitza. Once again, the Mishnah doesn't tell you how you do mitzitza. Fenos and Allah afterwards is Spalanus or Chamon, you put a bandage upon the wound afterwards, and Chamon, cumin, was used as some type of infection killer or some type of way of having the wound heal quicker, etc., etc. So we have over here, in other words, basically a description of the malachas of Mila that are Derech HaShabbos without a Shela. Now, the crucial part I want to show you is this next quotation underneath. Umotitzin. So Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, Hai Umna, which is the description of the Moel B'Lashon HaGemara, that Umin, the Lomayitz, that does the Mila and the Priya, but doesn't do the Metzitza, Sakana, who is putting the child in danger, Va'avrinale, and we therefore take him away from his position, we no longer allow him to practice. So the Gemara says, Pshita, isn't that quite obvious? Midakor Mechalele Shapsa, of course, that's the Bisakan, or else he wouldn't be able to do this. Madasema, I would have thought, Haida Mifka Pokit. I might think the blood you're removing is just surface blood, which really doesn't involve Malecha Deraisa of squeezing and squeezing out blood. Kamash Malam, Chibura Michba, that I have to bring not only the surface blood off the organ, but I have to squeeze the organ to remove us, or literally suck the organ to remove the blood beneath the surface, which involves already Chabala and the Issa Malacha Deraisa, Vidumi, Dispalanis, Chamon, which are therapeutic medical post-operative care, Maaspalanis, Chamon, Kili Ovid, Sakanahu, Hachinami, Kili Ovid, if you don't do the Metzitza, Sakanahu. But once again, even if you see the Gemara, you still don't know after what, how you do Metzitza, what's the format, until you come to the Rishonim. And even when the Rambam talked about it, the Rambam just says motzei from Mechamas Arachokim. He never mentions the mouth. And you'll see with Chassam Sefer makes a deal. The Rambam I show you on page 1 never says motzeitz the pet. He just says motzeitz hadam Mechamas Arachokim. Never mentions the mouth whatsoever. You'll get to page 1 again. You'll see this. Who mentions the mouth? We now have next Maramakom is a mole whose name was Rav Yaakov. Well, you know, we have Baran, but I'm going to get back to the Baran very shortly. If you go to this Maariv Mekom on the page, you have a description in a book called Sefer Zichron Bris L'Rishon of a mole who was called Rav Yaakov HaGozer. You'll figure out why he was called Rav Yaakov HaGozer. And he himself describes how he did the Bris Mila. Listen to this. Ketzer hi apriya. Ketzer ach apriya, after the priya, he says, Miyad machnis ha'eva l'toch piv. Here he says, you basically wrap your mouth around the organ itself. Umotzes es adam b'kol koach. You basically suck out the blood with all of your energy, which should be a very, very strong sucking power. Meshum shehadam nikrash b'pi ama. Because the blood itself many times can start to literally congeal underneath the skin, where the actual opening of the penis is to outside, and it can cause a blockage for sakanahu. If you don't try to get rid of that congealed blood that's inappropriately placed at that point in time, And acha hamatzitza, what's interesting is that after they sucked away the blood using their mouth, acha hamatzitza, listen to what he says now, acha hamatzitza gomeya gemiya min hayayin, he then takes a nice geshmaka drink of wine, and what does he do? Gemiya min hayayin, im adam shebepiv, with the blood still in his mouth, he didn't spit it out yet, he's therefore imbibing a little wine, because they relied upon the alcohol, God, obviously, and the wine to be a form of way of disinfecting the wound. But what's strange is the next thing. Umamahir vizarek mipiv shneyem. He then spits out of his mouth the blood plus the wine, adam v'yayin al hamila, which means you would think that he's taking the blood away, that's infected blood, and surely would not want to put it back on the bris milah anymore. In his time, they used to therefore suck away the blood, drink some wine which has alcohol, mix it together in your mouth, and then literally spits it back onto the organ itself. Zarim mepish shneim hayayidam alamila ki heichish emar barfuah, to cause the food to take place. Now, what I want to mention to you is the doctor, the Rambam, does not talk about spitting and putting it back onto the wound. He says you're basically being moitzes mechaymes arachokim. You get it away. No place does the Rambam say, like he says, as you spit it back. So this is a guess between a doctor and a moyel. Yes.
Can I explain the mechanism of the metzisa, how it's held? When you're cutting,
yes,
a little blood can cloud it in the vessel over there.
Yes.
When you moses, you're taking this cloud, allowing the blood to flow.
Right.
And also, when you metzisa micro vessels, while your metzisa is closing up, you preventing more bleeding. Mechanism as a
right.
Rofe,
yeah. But what I also saw besides that, you know, besides what you said, is that the fact of the matter is the Rambam is more concerned of extracting the contaminated blood from not only above the surface but below the surface and getting rid of it. His concern is eradicating the blood that might have quite obviously been contaminated in the bris milah.
This is not the contaminated.
No, but I'm saying the Rambam, listen very carefully. The way they explain the Rambam is he's concerned about extraction as a way of getting rid of blood that might itself have been contaminated because of the surgery. That's his approach. The approach over here of Yaakov HaGozer, where he says he's concerned about the Dan HaKarish, let me read to you how they interpret him. What is he concerned about? They say what he's concerned about is the following. Drawing out the blood to prevent the blood from clotting and coagulating under the skin, which may result in inflammation and swelling. So they interpret him that that's his major concern. That's what he's concerned about. The Rambam is more concerned about removing a contaminant. He's more concerned about the problem of what I just mentioned, the coagulation and the actual clotting of the blood under the skin causing inflammation and swelling. Two different approaches, but one thing is for sure, they want to get rid of that blood.
So what does that mean?
It means that they don't want you just to remove the surface blood, they interpret it, but they want you to suck with such a suction that the blood that's underneath the actual open surface is sucked out. The idea being is, once you remove that blood, your body automatically brings more blood, so you have pure blood coming now with red and white blood cells to clean. So you're basically causing your system that the Russian created with your body to cleanse the wound, but you're taking away the infected blood by the suction process itself. Now, the fact of the matter is, so you have Rav Yaakov HaGozer mentioning oral suction. If you look, I have right underneath that.
He was
a Rishon. Now, besides him, you have the Shibali Haleket, who was from the German community, Motzeis Hamila Bepiv Lahotzi Hadam. He was a doctor. His name is Ratzitka Ben Avram Harofe. So he mentions in Germany the purpose was to be Motzeis Bepiv Lahotzi Hadam. The Vudraham, quite obviously, who was also from the camp of the European community of Rishonim, Today, after you finish doing the cutting and the metzitzah bepeh, the minig was to wash off your mouth and hands. So when you recite the brachas after the bris milah, you do with a clean mouth and clean hands, which will meluchas ma'amila ma'amitzitza. The Rambam lashon over here is, he says, once again, he's calling the Rambam, showing you, he never mentions peh. Never mentioned the, and the reason I'm showing this to you is the Chasan Sofer in his tshuva makes a very big deal of this. Well, all the other Rishonim talk about peh, 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 but Rambam does not make a big deal of it. He just says the ikar is to extract the blood.
How he was doing it?
Who? Who? We don't know. He doesn't mention peh.
He said doesn't peh. How he was doing it?
So we're gonna see. I'm going to show you another vibe. I'm going to show you another pshat in the Rambam. Listen very carefully. But I will tell you the following, and that I have on the bottom of the page. That when you look in Sifrei Kabbalah, in the Tikkun HaZohar in particular, and then later on you have, I have a quote on the bottom from Moshe Kadavero, the one who could obviously was one of the great Mukubalim of his time, the Ramak. The Sifrei Kabbalah are makbid that you have to extract the blood with your mouth. Now what's the reason? So that you find two Lashonos in Kabbalistic literature. The Lashon is quoted by the Tikkun HaZohar, I alluded to between Mincha Maariv when I spoke before, is they say it's called Misuk Hadin. That if you have a Gzeirah against you and your Mishpacha Kedomer, the Kabbalah was that if you involve yourself in Metzitza, the Metzitza, doing the Metzitza Bepeh, causes the Din against you to be Masuk, to be sweetened and to be gentle, and therefore to cause a Tikkun of whatever gzeras are against you. But Ramosha Kadavera is more explicit. Moshe Kadavera says, you know why you have to use the mouth and why we use the hands in bris milah? He says, because it's a tikkun of the chet harishon of the Eitz Hadas Tovara. This is Ramosha Kadavera speaking. He says, initially, how did they eat the Eitz Hadas Tovara? They took it with their hands and they ate with their mouth. So the tikkun, based upon Kabbalistic literature, is therefore to use your hands and your fingers in the bris milah as a tikkun yad keneged yad, and to therefore do the metzitza bepeh as a tikkun of for the achila yepa iser. He says, Rav Moshe Kadavera is a makubal. That's why there's a tremendous hakpod. The metzitza should be the dafka al de peh, and that your peh, your lips, your mouth have to touch the milah the same way your mouth touched the food, whatever the food was, of the Eitz Hadas Tovara. Of the Mukubalim, the one that's most explicit in the Hakpada of the Peh and the Yad is a Moshe Kadavera. I just want you to know, be Kabbalah, that's where that Hakpada comes from. And what I'm going to now go into now with you is the following. The fact of the matter is, Rabbi, so you know as well as I do, that the Goyim realized for centuries how important circumcision was for us. And therefore, when Goyim goes to Gzeres, anti-Semitic types of decrees against us, one of the rituals they went crazy about was always circumcision. I mean, you see this, Rabbi, so when it comes to Hanukkah time, when it comes to the Greeks, later on when it came to the Romans, they always were gozer against bris milah because they realized how important it was for us. So initially, most of the motivation behind the going was just anti-Semitism, literally anti-Judaism, and that was the normal gezeiros kashas. The first time in Jewish history that medical reasons were brought up as a reason to reconsider circumcision in general, and metzitza in particular, took place in the 1800s.
The lecture continues with part two.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.